September 11th, 2009, the Norris Group returns with its award-winning event, I Survived Real Estate 2009. For this critical final quarter, the Norris Group has assembled a gold panel of accomplished industry specialists to discuss the impact of seismic economic shifts, head-scratching regulations, challenging legislation, and the accelerated pace of opportunities emerging for real estate professionals. 100% of the proceeds for this unique event support the Orange County affiliate of Susan G. Komen for The Cure. This event would not be possible without the generous help of the following platinum partners: the San Diego Creative Real Estate Investors Association and President Bill Tan, Investors Workshop and President Sean Watkins and Angel Bronskiest, Invest Club for Women and Director Iris Veneration, Fry Wiles, the creative agency responsible for iSurvive2009.com, J.K. Short Sales and Kathy Van Sleen, Entrust California and Hugh Broma, the Nixon Library, MVT Productions, who always provide the audio-visual needs, the Business Press, airing the event live over the internet, and White House Catering, who will provide the three-course meal for this black tie event. Visit iSurvive2009.com for more details.
Welcome to the Norris Group's Real Estate Radio Show. Hosted by author, investor, hard money lender, and real estate educator Bruce Norris. Equipping California real estate professionals for tomorrow's challenges.
Hi, thank you for joining us. My name is Bruce Norris. Today our guest is David Kittle. He is the chairman of the Mortgage Bankers Association. David began his mortgage banking career in 1978. He then opened his own company, Associates Mortgage Group, in 1994 and sold it in 2006. He currently is executive vice president of Vision Mortgage Capital. David, welcome to our show.
Thank you very much. It's really a pleasure to be with you.
I have to say, you had probably great timing in selling the company. And how's the timing to be the chairman of the Mortgage Bankers Association?
Well, you know, timing is everything, and it did work out well for me to sell Associates Mortgage Group, but I get asked that question a lot, and I wouldn't have it any other way.
You know,
I have an opportunity to matter and make a difference, and I have really looked forward to this year.
You know, that's a fantastic attitude to have, and I think you're right. I think there's going to be some things happen in the next 12 months that are going to matter for a very long time.
And to be, I totally agree with that.
And to be a part of that is going to be very significant. I was watching Ben Bernanke get interviewed or questioned today, and I know that you've appeared before Congress before. I just couldn't help but notice there were a lot of empty seats. Is that common when you're there, when you're doing your presentation or you're open for questions?
Do you mean empty seats from the congressional staff?
Yes.
It can be typical. It depends on whether or not there are other votes going on at the time. They can get called in and out. They can have other appointments. And if they have specific questions for you, there is a certain protocol set up, and they'll appear for their questions, listen to the answers, and then they'll leave. So sometimes that is typical.
Okay. So it doesn't mean they're not interested. It just means they have other things they have to do simultaneously.
Yes, Congress has many things they're doing these days in all aspects of our lives. So, yes, they have a lot going on.
You know, that brings up a question I was going to ask later, but I'll do it now. There are a lot of things going on simultaneously, and there's a lot of ways that real estate and the mortgage world can get pushed out by health care, cap and trade, whatever else is on the agenda. So how do you keep this in front of them and make sure this remains a priority?
Well, it's a priority to our members, and we have a great government affairs staff that helps push, along with the officers of MBA. There are three of us, myself, Rob Story, and Michael Berman. We have a chairman-elect and vice chairman, so it's not a solo act for me at all. But we have a great staff at MBA and government affairs that continue to push it. And quite frankly, the Financial Services Committee and the Senate Banking Committee are still very interested in everything we do. There's a lot of legislation pending up there that's going to affect the consumer going forward.
You know, there's so many pieces of legislation simultaneously that I wonder how they can differentiate from all of them and then decide which one's best. And I know that the Mortgage Bankers Association have just put forth a Mortgage Improvement and Regulation Act And that's alongside a number of other bills that are already in process, some that have not even been voted on. So what are some of the differences in the Mortgage Improvement and Regulation Act as opposed to, you know, H.R. 3915 or 1728?
Well, MIRA, as we call it, and I've testified in front of the House Financial Services Committee twice on this particular proposal. This is actually the mortgage industry, MBA, as we have termed it, calling in a strike on ourselves. And we're saying, look, there is some regulation that's needed. And what we need to do is increase net worth for the brokers. And we need to make sure we have substantial net worth that is out there for the lenders. And there's a distinct difference between the two, a lender and a broker. The broker has absolutely no, and the term now is skin in the game. They have very little educational requirements. And the place where we differ most with the brokers is disclosure. Because they have no risk, because they don't lend their own money, they must still now, and we want them to continue to do this, disclose the yield spread premium that they earn on the loan. And they will say that they have no responsibility to anybody in the loan. And if they don't have any responsibility, then they should disclose. So in MIRA, to get back to your general question, we are saying, let's make regulations that improve the process. Let's have transparency. Let's improve the truth in lending. Let's improve the good faith estimate and make it clear to the customer at application. And let's make sure that the good faith estimate and the HUD-1 settlement statement match each other at closing, so there is less chance for predatory lending.
The other choices that are going to be in front of Congress, are they accomplishing basically the same thing, or are they in some ways making it more confusing?
Well, they make it much more confusing. As an example, the RESPA law at the end of last year, the Bush administration, they put a new law into effect. And it's terrible. It's onerous. Their answer to mortgage simplification under the Bush administration and the Obama administration is going to go ahead and implement this act was to take a one-page good faith estimate and make it a four-page good faith estimate. And that's not the way to simplify the process. We don't need more paperwork. We need less paperwork and more transparency. And we need to make it easier for the customers to understand, specifically minorities and the elderly.
You know, I buy and sell a fair amount of properties, and I really don't get involved in qualifying for loans very often. And we're going to step up our business a little bit. So I actually filled out a loan application, and I delivered my loan application in a box that was 12 inches deep because that was the required paperwork to submit for qualifying. I can't wait to see the loan docs.
Well, the loan closing documents should be a little bit less than what the application is, but you're exactly right. I mean, here it is. We actually, and I think this is the number, four times on a loan application, the applicant must tell us whether or not they're going to occupy the property as their primary residence. I mean, that's over the top. Certain lines, again, on the good faith estimate don't match with the same numbered lines on the HUD-1 settlement statement. And that's absolutely ridiculous for them not to line up. Mortgage Bankers Association, over a year and a half ago, presented to HUD new GFE and a new HUD-1 where every line matched. Because, you know, you can't have predatory lending until you lend. And if we have total understandable transparency at the closing table where none of the figures change, then there's less chance for somebody to be preyed upon.
In one way, I look at the process of legislation, and I think it's extremely slow. And then it scares me when people get motivated in that career because they can seem to pass things very quickly without having a complete understanding of what's being said in the bill. Is there a chance that we're hurrying in this process and might end up with something that doesn't do what we want?
Well, this particular process, some of the bills that have been proposed by the House side, they get changed. They go into committee. They go into markup. And remember, then they have to go to the Senate. And, you know, there's a saying up on the Hill that the Senate is where a lot of legislation just goes to disappear or die. Mm-hmm. So just because the House passes something doesn't mean it's going to come out that way and become law after it goes to the Senate. So we have, as do other sister trade associations, the realtors, the home builders, the Financial Services Roundtable, we all have our opinions on the legislation up there, and we all have our opportunities to go educate members of Congress on both sides of the aisle what is good and what is bad about the legislation and how it will affect the consumer. I mean, if you really look at it, I have called in testimony the Mortgage Bankers Association. We are really a consumer advocacy group, and people raise their eyebrows at that because we are out there protecting the consumer. We want transparency. We want it to be easy for people to understand what's going on. So our main goal is to take care of and protect our customer.
How did that transparency fail, let's say, in the years 2005 and 6, where there was very different lending type policies? And I'm just curious about what your response would be on that.
Well, I mean, you know, everybody there, if you want to say you sit in front of Congress and I find what they want to do most is to blame and point fingers.
Absolutely.
Well, there's enough responsibility to go around for everybody. And I will say that Congress is at fault. The lenders are at fault. The brokers, realtors, home builders, Wall Street, everybody.
You know what's
Every time you point a finger, you have three coming back at you.
You know what's interesting?
Our main goal is to go up there and find solutions.
I think what's interesting, and you've just said it, the entire group and the appraisers and everybody, what's interesting is there's a group that's left out very often, and it's the person that borrowed the money knowing full well it was more than they could pay back. And I don't know if that's politically unacceptable to mention that, but we have
Well, it's not at all. I would totally agree with you. Customers, some of them out there, are to blame. Fraud that is committed is rampant. I mean, fraud detection is something that we are getting better at, and we are now making, as an industry, better loans today than we've made in 15 years. But the customer is culpable in many of these situations, too. It is not all the brokers or the lenders. It's everybody's fault spread out. You know, the Mortgage Bankers Association has been on Capitol Hill for the last 16 years, begging, pleading, advocating, lobbying for a new regulator for Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, and it took this crisis to finally have something happen. We were up there doing the same thing for FHA modernization, FHA reform to modernize the Federal Housing Administration for the last 11 years. Mm-hmm. We finally got an FHA modernization bill last year.
Yes.
So we wouldn't have many of the problems we have today had we got a new regulator for the GSEs and FHA modernization reform.
Absolutely true, because FHA, even though it has a small down payment, at least you have to qualify.
Well, you do. And here's something else. You know, right now, FHA is, in some parts of the country, we're saying it's 35 to 40% of the overall volume, but in many parts of the country, it's as high as 60 or 65%. They are still using, in some parts of FHA, a computer system called COBOL, which is pre-DOS, which is pre-Windows.
Wow.
Now, that is absolutely ridiculous for FHA not to have modernization in their IT department. And I know that's something that Sean Donovan and the new Assistant Secretary of HUD, Davis, wants to take care of right now.
You mentioned fraud being rampant, and a matter of fact, it is getting worse. It's increasing because of the difficulties, I guess, in getting mortgages and refis. But once again, the consumer... There's two segments of fraud. The FBI says there's fraud for property and there's fraud for profit. And one they're going to pursue and one they won't. So honestly, the people that had the stated income loans, the way the FBI explains it is that their intent was always to make the payment. I just find it interesting that we can handle it that way, because I think we're teaching the consumer – okay, that was okay to do.
Well, I don't know really how to respond to that other than to say that fraud is illegal, and regardless of the intent, if you commit fraud, you should be prosecuted.
A lot of the effort right now is to deal with the people that are over-encumbered, and in California, that is a very big problem. So we have loan modifications going on constantly. And there was a report within the last week that these loan modifications are failing at a tremendous percentage. Something like 70% of all the loan modifications done in 08 are already delinquent or already have been foreclosed on. Do you see loan modification going forward as a very effective way to deal with the problems we already have?
Well, loan modification is just one tool in the toolbox. You know, you've got short sales, you got deeds in lieu of. You can't modify a loan effectively to somebody if they lose their job. It doesn't make any difference. I can make you a 0% loan for 100 years on the amortization, and if you don't have a means to repay it, then it's not going to perform. So as unemployment increases, even the loan mods that were made last year or early this year, if somebody loses their job, it's not going to do any good. And I think that's really part of the problem out there right now as unemployment increases.
Do you think as a country we're headed down the right path to create those new jobs?
Let me answer that question this way. I think the best way to get this economy started is to pass what Senator Dodd and Senator Isaacson and 14 other senators have signed on to, and that's to take the home buyer's tax credit that was knocked down to $8,000 for first-time home buyers only on an FHA program, and to expand it to $15,000 for everybody, every American out there, and make it available as a credit at closing. Because nothing happens positive in this country until somebody purchases something, and a purchase then creates another purchase, and it will get this country moving again.
Okay.
I think taxing small business and not helping small business is absolutely the wrong way to go.
Would you have that $15,000 credit passed on to all price ranges, I gather? And then what about investors that buy? Occupy it?
No, we would limit it to this, and we would like to see it for second homes, and we'd like to see it for owner-occupied only and or second home for purchases at any price and at any income level, at any gender, and at any race. The crisis, as it's been termed, that we have out there today is not a black-white Hispanic problem. It's an American problem. So let's get all types of property moving, not just first-time homebuyers. You want to spur this economy. You know, the home builders have a great statistic, if I could give it.
Sure.
And that's on every purchase, regardless of new home or existing home, the buyer goes out after investment and after closing costs and spends an average of $7,500 on that house. Now, that's at Lowe's, Home Depot, Porter Paint, Haverty's, wherever, buying furniture, buying stuff for the lawn. That's real money back into the economy, over and above moving the house.
That's a big improvement to the economy, that's for sure.
It sure is.
The comment you just made before, was that kind of in response to the Center for Responsible Lending's opinion that a lot of the lending that was done was kind of earmarked to certain minority groups and did them great damage?
No, not at all.
Okay.
All I'm saying is that we shouldn't, if we're going to do something to spur the economy,
okay,
and we want to talk about being fair, then let's open this up to everybody. This is not a gender or race-specific issue. It is an American problem, and all Americans should have the opportunity to participate in this tax credit.
One of the main issues that's coming up in California, and I just want to see if that's a national issue, is the appraisal problem. We buy and sell properties on a regular basis, and since about April, May, we've had more problems getting appraisals to be coming into market value. And I'm just curious, is that a national problem for realtors and lenders who are trying to make refi loans?
It is. It's not just refi loans. It's on purchases also.
Okay.
The HVCC problem is what you're talking about, and the appraisal management companies, yes, that is an issue. And it's an issue that our members are speaking out about. Even the larger members of MBA right now are having their issues with it. So, yes, it is a national problem. I think there's a request out there. There's even legislation going forward to put a moratorium on this for now. I don't know exactly where that stands, but I know that people are pushing to have that happen.
There's also a form they created in the appraisal world. It's a 1004MC, a market conditions report. And in that form, it asks the appraiser to come up with the direction of the real estate in that state as far as is it declining or increasing. And then they ask the appraiser to come up with a median value. And that's a new term. I have some training as an appraiser. And market value is really the common name for the number that you're supposed to come up with. And what's going on in an area like California is a median value or a median sale would almost always be a vacant REO. And every time there's a comp or a sale that's higher, they consider that an anomaly and they have to explain it. And it is making it very tough to resell the properties.
I'm not an appraiser, and I really don't know how to speak to that.
No problem.
And I would really kind of like to just not comment on that, and I will just accept what you say that as gospel.
Well, I'd say the mortgage brokers certainly, you know, they probably are dealing with disappointed lenders and appraisal problems. What do you see in the next year for real estate, the real estate market in general? Do you see us gradually improving and to where people are willing to take more risk and get a little bit more comfortable with owning properties again?
Well, I certainly hope so. I think we've been at the bottom for a while. I think it's not a V effect. It's more of a bathtub effect. I see us pulling out of this next year. Many parts of the country right now, you have values going up. Oklahoma City, state of Alaska, values are rising right now. And the Midwest, the heartland of our country, everything is a little bit more stable than it is still in what we call the sand states, California, Florida, Nevada, Arizona, and then go into Michigan also because of the issues up there. I would really hope that people look and do not become afraid. You know, we've heard of some people at applications saying, you know, I can afford and I'm going to go ahead and go with this purchase, but I see other things coming, like my energy costs going up, my health care being taxed. And there's a real fear out there right now that other proposals in Congress can slow down the real estate market because people are going to see their disposable income go down because of the taxes.
That's right.
And that's going to hurt us going forward.
We do seem to be signing up for a lot of future debt, that's for sure. On September 11th, we're really looking forward to you being there along with Tommy Williams and many of the other leaders of their industry, and we're looking forward to your participation. We've got about 1 minute left. I just wanted to ask one other part of the financing world. Mortgage-backed securities and CDOs and so forth, that shadow banking system, what kind of shape is that in right now, and do you see that coming back, and does it need to be there?
The shape that it's in right now, it's in not good at all. It's in terrible shape. There's no confidence in that right now. People who are going to go out and invest in that don't have any confidence in the rating agencies. So we've got to find a way to ensure that if you're going to invest your money in a CDO or an MBS, that what you're buying in that pool or in that tranche or strip is quality loan production.
So
there's a good way to do that, and there's a way to analyze the loans before they go into the pool, have some fraud detection on them, and to do a better sampling of the borrower. And to make sure that people that get in our business, you know, nothing can help us more than to set the bar higher for people entering the mortgage business and make sure they are qualified and as ethical as possible getting into our business, that we make good loans.
Absolutely. David Kittle, thank you so much for joining us. David is the chairman of the Mortgage Bankers Association, and we look forward to seeing you September 11th.
Great. I'll be there. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, David.
You've been listening to the Norris Group Real Estate Radio Show. For more information on the Norris Group, please visit www.thenorrisgroup.com. The Norris Group would like to thank its gold sponsors for supporting I Survived Real Estate 2009. 1M1 Properties, Dalmay Properties, Elite Auctions, the Inland Empire Investors Forum, Las Brisas Escrow, Los Angeles Event Center, the Mortgage Equity Group, Mike Cantu, Northern California Real Estate Investors Association, North San Diego Real Estate Investors Association, Real Wealth Network, Realty 411 Magazine, San Jose Real Estate Investors Association, the REO Mentor Tony Alvarez, Westin South Coast Plaza, Women's Council of Realtors Inland Valley Chapter,
To find out more about I Survived Real Estate 2009 and how you can get involved, visit isurvived2009.com.